The Trader Cobb Crypto Show, talking business in blockchain.
Hi there, guys, and welcome to the Trader Cobb Crypto Show. Today I've got Horam of IBC Group. Thank you so much for taking some time out, because I know you've just had a new baby, so congratulations.
Thank you.
So if you wouldn't mind just introducing yourself and telling the viewers a little bit about what you're doing.
Sure. Basically, I work for a family office, my own family office. We invest mainly in real estate and the education sector, even though we have some interest in some banking institution on a global level. In 2007, we were looking at M-Pesa in Kenya, how to do money transfers. So in 2012, we bought a substantial amount of Bitcoin, and just to see how we can transfer money and back and forth. And then the Bitcoin prices went up, and then they crashed, so we just got stuck with it. So it was more by fluke that we amassed this much wealth. And last year, we had a pray and spray approach. That means any ICO that we like, we invested in them. Unfortunately, due to the crypto market, we have lost about 80% of the money. So now what we're doing is we're looking at projects in which we can be long-term with the people and get equity in them, right?
Yeah.
I know you got an opportunity to talk to a lot of people in this space who are at that event in the ICO. But one of the main things I'd like to tell the viewers and yourself and even my team, I tell them to, you know, we need to invest in people instead of projects. And we need to look at what are the intentions of the people. So we're looking at more equity. So one of the projects I could give you an example of is a travel project, which is also sponsors here, called Travezy, TRAVEZY.com, like travel made easy. So I was telling my group, I was like, you know what, we're going to invest in them. Why? Because worst case scenario is we're going to get free hotel rooms all over all around the world. So an immediate utility of the cryptocurrency or token is very important to us. The other project which we are excited about, it's called Kik, QIQ.global, which won the second prize at Futurama in Ibiza. It is basically a competition to Lime and Bird based on blockchain with electronic scooters. Again, the utility is immediate. The token, you can utilize the tokens to basically get on a bike.
Sounds like you got a lot on your plate. So when it comes to blockchain, obviously, great story, by the way. You know, everyone gets into it somehow. You kind of tripped over your own feet and landed in a very good position. Of course, many of the viewers, myself included, have gone through the up and down. Now, I'm a trader. I'm an educator. We educate people how to trade, and we do these interviews for the education of me and the viewer. So your story is very familiar, okay, as far as how people got into it. What's made you become somebody who's so interested in the space? And what is going on here in Dubai that's really created such a buzz? There's a lot going on here in Dubai. I mean, you're based here. What's happening here that's really sort of bringing, I guess, the blockchain space to the forefront in this particular part of the world?
Well, first of all, I would like to say it's really the vision of the leadership. You know, His Highness Sheikh Mohammed is really pushing Dubai to be on the forefront of blockchain. And he is putting in policies for governmental organizations, different parts of the government, to go on the blockchain. So I salute his vision. And, you know, Dubai, Gulf states were completely relying on oil in the 90s, and his vision is what has made Dubai what it is today. So whatever his vision is, we'd like to follow. We consider him a great leader. So now, because Dubai has become forefront on blockchain, it's become one of the top stops in Asia, Middle East, and Africa for blockchain-related projects and blockchain-related companies as a definite point of contact that they should have. And when they come to Dubai, I'm fortunate enough to get an opportunity to meet them, see about their project. So it's Dubai has a lot of capital available in regular markets, and it is growing in terms of fintech and technology. There's some very interesting projects in this part of the world, especially from Asia, Dubai seems to be like a stepping stone or like a jumping stone,
a launch pad
for these projects.
You talk about the vision, and this is my first time to Dubai.
Oh, welcome to Dubai.
Yeah, thank you very much. And I was talking with my taxi driver last night, and I just said, you know, look at what we're surrounded by. And what they've achieved in, what, 20 years?
Yeah.
It takes a civilization 400 years. So when you talk about their vision, and if their vision is to bring blockchain into the fore and create the environment for projects to flourish and grow, then I'm with them, because they are obviously very good at executing, and they're selfless people in the sense that they didn't need to do all this. They've done it for a cause. Now, when it comes to regulation, it's a big conversation within this space at the moment, the lack thereof. What sort of measures are coming? How's Dubai looking to sort of, I guess, legitimize the space a little bit? Is there any major steps forward in that regard and things that you're investing in because of?
Well, they're implementing blockchain technology in all the different government sectors. In terms of legitimizing crypto and legitimizing cryptocurrency projects and giving an ability to raise funds for ICOs, it's sort of still in the gray area.
Yeah.
ADGM, DIFC, different DMCC are different, giving sort of licenses, but they're not. And we're at this stage that it's still a learning process. You know, Dubai is looking at the different countries, including Malta and Gibraltar and Zug and the United States, to lead the way in terms of regulation. And Dubai is a great value adder to those situation. And as you know, the UAE dirham is pegged to the US dollar at 3.675, I believe, for the longest time. So if you do invest in UAE, you're not taking any sort of currency risk between here and the United States.
They're doing a lot of amazing things. Now, you mentioned before you have a family office and a vast property portfolio. It seems to be one of the main areas of investment. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
Yep. So there's been a lot of buzz, a lot of talk about the fact the security token's coming, and real estate just seems to be the most natural fit, and it's the example that most are using. Now, being that you're in blockchain, being that you incubate, grow, and invest in the space, and that you have a vast property portfolio, are you looking at linking those things together?
Yes, and that's where we come back again to Travel Z. Is, you know, we invest, we're investing heavily in this travel company. Why? Because I was joking with him, I was like, it takes our family office $100 million to build a building, while a travel website can come and control a $100 million building for as little as $1 million. So, and an ability to expand, one of the largest hotel owners in the world, he was giving me advice one day, because I was telling him that I'm developing this hotel in Toronto. So he said, you know, you're doing laborious work. I was like, you know, I'm buying the land for this much, I'm getting leverage, I'm going to make a, you know, 18 to 22% return. He said, you know what, I will buy the building from you once it's completed at a 5% premium, so you can make your extra 5% return. You know, so real estate globally is a very illiquid asset for the longest time there. So we have to come up with a new situation for linking the real estate. We have a friend over here who's worked on a Plaza Hotel in New York. So everywhere in the world, real estate developers and real estate owners are looking at ways to create security offerings or STOs, or sell part of the limited partnership to create a sense of liquidity for a usually not so liquid asset. The usual ways that done right now is through REITs, real estate investment trusts, or regular development, real estate development companies, which are listed on the different exchanges. So this is a new way for fundraising for real estate projects, and it will give an average investor an ability to get in and out of real estate properties and portfolio seamlessly with little or no cost.
And also, I think that what I'm really excited about has been able to have a truly diversified international portfolio through tokens. Because right now, if you want to buy property in New York, and you want to have some in Istanbul, and you want to have some in Australia, and you want to have some in London, well, unless you have got a lot of wealth, well, that's not going to happen. If we can tokenize this economy, this real estate, then it gives us the potential to bring more people into the space. Now, that should really help real estate prices increase too, shouldn't it?
Yeah, prices increase because We were talking about the other day about tokenizing a particular asset. So let me give you an example.
Yeah.
It's a $100 million asset. There's debt on it for $65 million. It makes $6 million a year, cap rate. Yep. So $6 million a year in profits. And so it's usually in the real estate world, it's called a six cap. The debt on it is, let's say, $65 million, and the equity in it by our group is for $35 million. Now, if we were able to tokenize or liquidate possibly 20 or 30% of our equity, that means our $35 million, 20% of that would be $7 million. So if we could get access to $7 million through the token economy, we believe the property price would increase by the effective result on what that $7 million can do for us. So let's say that $7 million
yes.
is generating a 6%, $360,000 return on an annualized basis. We believe that our property price would increase by 20 times the amount of the $360,000. So that means wow. our property price would increase by twice, probably the same amount or possibly twice the amount of the money that we to get. So it would increase by $14 million. So now, by tokenizing $7 million, you're able to increase your value by $14 million.
Wow. And effectively,
same thing.
Right now, without this ability to do this, there is a $14 million opportunity cost on that example, on the example you used, because you could be using the money not just for new developments, for new investments in blockchain, different businesses, and it opens up your portfolio because you can use that equity, but it's not just equity because it comes back as cash in a form which you can then reinvest however you like across any asset. That's surely got to spur governments around the world to really take notice of this because it brings more liquidity back to the market.
Yes and no, because the process of providing liquidity to the market is a bank's job,
okay.
right? So then you get into this whole complicated situation. The people who benefit right now in this field are private lenders. So anytime you need second mortgages, third mortgages, fourth mortgages, fifth mortgages, tranches, there's tranche warfare in terms of the first mortgage, the fourth mortgage, it is more of a market right now for private lenders, which are in the regular world called sharks. So you're talking about going to a private lender, if you need access to that, again, to that $7 million, the private lender is gonna ask you usury in places like Canada, like 49% or 40% or stuff. So there are private lenders out there who can charge you up to 2% a month.
Yeah.
And so for $7 million, you can end up paying, 24%, 26%, plus broker fees, etc. Even if it is worth it, because you might need the $7 million, sometimes, your hands are tied. You have this $100 million property, you have $35 million invested in, you need $7 million for some other project, and you're going to basically take away a lot of your cream and time and money and resources for that extra $7
million. So the issue is there. The issue is there to be resolved. Security tokens and property can do this. Are you investing in any projects like this?
Yes, I've invested in a few projects, security tokens, but it's really the regulations are not there. It's not getting listed on any of the exchange. So, if you invest in it, you might be providing liquidity to the real estate owner or to that, but your liquidity is
not
short.
To yourself.
So,
it
becomes very difficult because the whole objective of it is ability to get in and an ability to get out, which is right now very difficult. And that really depends on regulations, and the whole world is looking to Europe and North America for leading the charge on regulatory processes and laws in place so it can be create more transparency for this market.
So IBC Group, are you short, medium, long-term focused when it comes to the blockchain projects that you're investing in?
You
can be a mix of all three too, by the way. There's nothing wrong with that.
I think we're a mix of all three. It really depends on project to project. Our Bitcoin purchase was at such negligible levels that our entry cost was very small, and we've done very well with our entry cost. So it's really, I would say we're more for the long term. And what I like about being in the blockchain space is the motivation and the enthusiasm that you find in people around you that you meet compared to the private family office event or real estate events where you're a very suited, even though I'm suited here, but suited situation comparatively to enthusiasm. I just want to tell you a story. I met this kid, 14 years old, and I was asking him, so what do you do? So he's like, I'm trying to put the genes on the blockchain. So I'm like, human genes on the blockchain. I'm like, huh? It's like, what will that accomplish? So then he started telling me something which I didn't understand, even though I'm 40 and he's 14. And he tells me, I'm trying to cure cancer. I'm like, how are you going to do that? Like, you know, I'm using nanotechnology with active bacteria to go and attack the tumor in its place, and it doesn't affect the organs around it, and it doesn't affect the tissues around it. And I'm trying to do exactly opposite to what chemotherapy is doing. It's a 14-year-old kid.
Wow.
I'm like, how would I have ever in my life gotten access to even listening to that thought, which is very inspiring for me, because usually 14-year-old kids today are playing Fortnite, right?
Yeah, you're right.
So this is something which completely mesmerized me in terms of motivation. And that brings me again to this event, is I'm really excited to meet the people, and I'm investing in the people.
And let me ask you one question. Is that 14-year-old now on your staff?
You know, the funny part is I asked him, I said, can you work with me? Can I invest in you? Can I set up a lab for you? And he said, I'm still in school. I do this on my part time when I don't have homework. I'm like looking at him like, wow, you know, what can I say to him?
Wow. I mean, look, that is truly inspiration. What we've seen a lot of in this space, I mean, there's a lot of stories like that. Not as extreme as a 14-year-old trying to cure cancer and actually having a plan of attack.
Plan,
not just saying, I'm going to do it, sir.
Yeah.
He actually had a plan.
Yeah,
which
and
is,
entrepreneurs
are coming forward a lot further in these days. But yeah, something like that's really extreme. But we are seeing a lot of people trying to help people, people trying to do good things in this space. But there's also the opposite side of that. We do see a lot of scams. We do see a lot of rip-offs. Yeah. How do people get around that? I mean, you know, you've got a team, I would imagine, that works on these projects. Any red flags for the viewers to sort of consider?
See, it's like this.
You should invest in people. But
yeah, and it's, so for example, last year, it was like, you know, scammers paradise. You know, any project came out, invested. Any project came to me, doesn't have an MVP ready, doesn't have a product ready, they're worth $30 million.
Yeah.
And I was saying that yesterday on the my speech, is like, you know, if you get mugged in New York, that doesn't mean all in New York is a mugger. So one of the issues is not necessarily of the scammer, it's for us investors. We have to be more sophisticated, more educated when we are investing in something, otherwise it will take even the good projects down. So this is something that I think is important, that the investment community needs to get educated more on how they should be investing, what things they should be looking at. And one of the things I can advise you guys is definitely meet the people you are investing in, right? Just don't look at all their reports, and we're not robots. We are people investing in people.
Excellent. Look, final question. You mentioned some of the projects that you're investing in at the moment, and people will be watching and listening, maybe not with a notepad. Would you mind if it's okay for me to ask you to let them know what you are investing in, how to find out more information about your group and these projects?
Well, we don't disclose what we invest in. We're a very private group. In fact, we don't even disclose who works in our company, and we don't most of the time even disclose our office addresses, because we get swamped with, I mean, people standing outside our offices. They travel from this place and this place, and so we try to keep it. We're trying to keep it completely secret.
You mentioned the travel company, right?
Yeah. Also, the company that I'm invested in at this event, and I'm very excited about it, is called TravelZ. So it's TravelZy.com. It's sort of like a membership-based model for travel. So like a Dollar Shave Club for the travel industry.
Yep, yep,
so you pay like 99 dirhams or $30 a month. And you get like 5-day, 4-night stay anywhere in the world for like $30 a month. So it's mind-boggling. Anyone who I've spoken to, including my father, wants to invest. So please check it out, TravelZ.com, and give us your feedback on what you think. The other company is called QIQ.global, which is a direct competitor to Lime and Bird. which are both now billion-dollar plus entities, and I feel their technology is even better than theirs, and they'll be able to really, and their heart is at a good place. So, and they're a very small company today, again, QIQ.global. So these are the two projects at the event which we are investing in, and we look forward to any sort of feedback you guys have. In fact, educate us on any other projects you think we should invest in.
Matt, it's been an absolute pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you so much
for sharing your time with us.
Appreciate it.
I know you're very busy. I've got two kids of my own. You've now got a third. Congratulations
once again.
Thank you
so much.
And thanks for your time.
Ladies and gentlemen,
thank you so much. Have a great day. Bye for now.
The Trader Cobb Crypto Podcast is hosted by Craig Cobb. All Trader Cobb courses, products, and tools can be found at tradercobb.com, because experience matters.